Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Walter B. Hoy of California, who is the founder and director of Issues for Life Foundation. And one of his big concerns is the fact that he, as a black man, is concerned about how so many black babies are being aborted, and yet nobody seems to care about that. Walter, thanks so much for being our guest.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Now, when you think of this recent violence and the movement of Black Lives Matter and so forth, where do the unborn babies fit in the equation? Their voice seems to be lost.
Yeah, and that's a big concern for me. If you're really concerned about lives mattering, and that's all lives mattering, you're going to have to consider that the child inside the womb is a human being. It's a life that is made in the image of God, and that life matters as well. And unfortunately, for many, it appears that life doesn't matter at all.
Well, why don't you give us a couple of statistics on this? I understand that abortion kills more black people than any other thing by far.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When you consider the total current black American population is around 42 million, and that there have been over 20 million black abortions. We're talking about 48% of the total black American population.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. If it wasn't for abortion, we'd be looking at maybe about 62 million black Americans, or a 48% greater population than we have today.
Is it a higher percentage per capita as far as the number of blacks being aborted versus, say, the number of whites being aborted? I'm just curious.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Blacks are disproportionately represented in the abortion data. Black Americans, at best, are about 14% of the population. And if I use the Allen Guttmacher Institute data, this is a not-so-former research arm of Planned Parenthood,
mm-hmm.
we're talking about blacks being responsible for 28% of all abortions. So we're highly disproportionate in when it comes to the abortion data.
All right. That's very interesting. What do you think causes so many black abortions?
Well, there are several factors. One that just jumps right out is that the abortion industry targets black America. There have been several studies, Lyman, where we've looked at where the abortion clinics are actually located. And
yeah.
We found out that overwhelmingly they're located in, you know, communities of color.
Yeah, that's true. I remember at one point, for example, in Aurora, Illinois, they opened up what at the time was the largest abortion clinic in the country. Now I think it's the third largest. But anyway, it was definitely in a black Hispanic area. Now, didn't even the founder of Planned Parenthood talk about, you know, we got to get rid of human tumbleweeds? And didn't she even have some racist overtones? Didn't she speak to the Ku Klux Klan? Of course, all of this, you know, history seems to be forgotten these days.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Everything you said is true, and it's literally Googleable. I mean, you can literally type in Margaret Sanger. You can look at her quotes. You can look at her work. And in her own autobiography, she writes about her experience with the Ku Klux Klan and how she was happy to go, and it was a thrilling experience, and, you know, she was so well received. And she made several other trips to the Klan, delivering her message, which was overwhelmingly well received.
Now, didn't she say that basically one of the ways we need to achieve, you know, getting into the black community and having lots of abortions and so forth, is by using essentially dupes? That's my word, not hers. But in other words, to find some black ministers, people that are respectable, people we could use as upfront people and so forth, to sell these ideas, you know, and to promote it that way.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, her Negro project just speaks volumes. I mean, it wasn't a white project. It wasn't a Latino project. It was a Negro project. And it's absolutely clear that her project was designed to limit the number of black babies born in America. I mean, if the listeners are really interested in learning all about her, well, they can go to my website, and I've got a whole page dedicated mm-hmm. to just Margaret Sanger. And one of the things I really like to bring listeners' attention to is her 1957 interview with Mike Wallace. If you've never seen her, you've never heard her, you can see her in person, you can see her interact with Mike Wallace, and I think that interview speaks volumes.
Hmm. Okay, the website is issuesforlife.org. Four is the number four. For those who haven't seen it, I do remember seeing it vaguely about a half a year ago or a year ago or something. But recap for us what she says to Mike Wallace, formerly with CBS 60 Minutes.
Yeah, and let me say this first. When you go to my website, issuesforlife.org, it's in my library, and that's the link in the top right-hand corner. But once you get to my library, there's a Margaret Sanger section on the first floor.
Okay.
And in that Mike Wallace interview, she literally says that the greatest sin in the world, is to bring children in the world. And these children are unfit, that they're misfits, they're criminals, and they're born that way. And you can feel the hatred, you can feel the venom. You can feel her self-righteousness, and you can actually see how Mike Wallace is actually shocked
wow.
at what she's actually admitting on national television. So we don't have to wonder what she was like. We can hear what she's like in her own words.
Okay, now, in the 1960s at some point, Martin Luther King Jr. received an award from Planned Parenthood, but his niece, who's a born-again Christian, Alveda King, she has often said that Dr. King received that award, but not fully understanding exactly everything the Planned Parenthood represented and so forth, and that if he had known, he would not have received that. Your comment on that?
Well, let's go even further than that. We were talking about Alveda King, who is a personal friend.
Yes, she's fantastic. Yes, I love that lady. Go ahead.
She's just awesome. And what she's saying is this, that Martin Luther King Jr., her uncle, never received that award. He never attended that award ceremony. He didn't even show up to it. He didn't write the acceptance speech. Planned Parenthood wrote the acceptance speech. Who was there was Coretta, and Coretta read the speech that was written by Planned Parenthood. It's clear all throughout Martin Luther King's journey and his civil rights movement. His comments are not a secret to anyone. And one of my
I'm not a what was, to anyone?
His comments are not a secret to anyone.
Oh, okay.
One of my favorite quotes from Martin Luther King Jr. is this: the Negro cannot win if he is willing to sell the future of his children for his personal and immediate comfort and safety. That's also a quote that I have on my website. I've also got an actual Ebony article where he's actually counseling someone who's had an abortion, and Martin Luther King Jr. calls it a sin.
Wow.
And so it's clear where his opinions lie. So, no, he didn't attend the award ceremony. No, he didn't, write the acceptance speech. That's just not true.
All right, tell me a little bit about your own personal background. How did you become pro-life?
I was sitting in my church. I'm a at the time I was an executive elder, and I was second only to our senior pastor. And I noticed that many of our members of our congregation would talk about such issues as abortion or adultery or sex outside of marriage. There would be these deeply personal concerns, but these conversations were happening only in the parking lot. We weren't preaching about them in the pulpit. We weren't dealing with them in the sanctuary. So what I ended up doing was starting a conference called Issues That Matter. And so we dealt with them publicly. Not soon after that, I went to my first Walk for Life. And then soon after that, I was asked to come out to an abortion clinic and hold up a sign. I had a sign that simply said, God loves you and your baby, let us help you. Hmm. And oh my goodness, that sign answered the three most asked questions of the women. These were sisters walking in to the clinic. We stopped, we talked, many changed their mind. Ultimately, the abortion clinic found out that there was a black preacher, licensed ordained minister, out in front of the abortion clinic. This was a problem because if one of us came out, then likely there would be more to come out. And sure enough, the city of Oakland, encouraged by the abortion facility, created a law literally just for me. And ultimately, the end of the story is that I was tried, I was convicted, and I was incarcerated.
What did the law say? Basically, you're not allowed to stand in front of an abortion clinic. The First Amendment applies except in front of abortion clinics if you're pro-life. I mean, I don't know, something like that. What did it say?
Literally, the law said that on a public sidewalk in front of an abortion clinic, I could not hold up a sign, I could not pass out literature, and I could not have a conversation. And additionally, I had to stay 8 feet away from the woman coming into the clinic at all time unless I had her express permission. So this violated so many constitutional guarantees we have as American citizens.
Yeah.
And even in the Ninth Circuit here in California, not known for its conservative
right.
judgment, the Ninth Circuit found the law absolutely apprehensive to them in terms of the First Amendment. I had a right to stand on the public sidewalk, had a right to hold up a sign, God loves you and your baby, let us help you. I had a right to pass out literature. I had a right to have a conversation.
Hmm. How long were you in jail?
I was facing 4 years, and it was such a media circus that the judge was very concerned about exposing the agenda behind it. So with a courtroom that was packed, media everywhere, after seeing videotaped evidence of how my rights were being destroyed, violated, the judge decided to give me not 4 years, but he gave me a 30-day sentence.
Oh.
After that 30-day sentence, after I being sentenced, I stood up in the court and I said that as soon as I get out, I'm going right back. And at that point, the courtroom erupted. All of a sudden, the judge was scrambling, trying to find another way to sentence me to the full amount. But you can't sentence somebody twice. But essentially, I had to come back to court a second time where he was trying to find out how he could get me back to the original sentence. He couldn't do it. I went and did my time and came back out. And
well, wait. So how much was your time? How much was your time? Just the 30 days?
The 30 days held up. He couldn't find a way to give me the full count, which is what I was facing when I was in court.
Wow, that's amazing. So you went to prison, and did you only go to prison once?
Yeah, just once. That was enough. That was enough for me.
Yeah.
I learned quite a bit in prison. I had a lot of experiences there. We'd have to say that one for maybe another
sure.
time.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. And I'm glad that you're coming to speak to the Broward County Right to Life banquet coming up. And I want to give the website again. It's issues4life.org. Walter B. Hoy. Thanks so much for being with us. Hoy, by the way, is spelled H-O-Y-E. God bless you, Walter. Thanks so much, and keep up the great work.
Thank you.